لامد سيفان سيمن كوف نون تاس راخا زين we're going to سيمن كوف سامخ راخا هي we're continuing with the bedikas checking that a woman has to do during their seven clean days so whether this is to begin the seven clean days which is called hefsek tahara or whether it's during the seven clean days so there's specific types of cloth today it's standard you can get it in the mikveh and they're much more comfortable and the kids are really discussing the different types of material and many times it's a concern that will be irritating and cause irritation, which of course it won't be a smart thing because then it might cause unnecessary staining, which is not uterine. So therefore you have to be careful what you use, also how the process. There's actually a description that's already, I think, quoted from the Chasam Sefer time of a woman standing one foot, standing on one foot on the stool to make it much easier. And the Chatchila, there's a depth that a woman is supposed to reach, but as the kids himself says, it's important to know a woman has to do the best she can. So this applies to a woman that wasn't married before, a woman has difficulties, and therefore that's really the shear, the best of the ability that a woman is able to reach. When it comes to the bdikas themselves to be checked, so it's interesting. Kizu says it can't be checked to the light of the candle. In truth, today the person can say you could use light that we have to the electricity, mean to see if there's any question or not. But generally speaking, I've for many years of seeing the different types of colorings, many times women, because they're looking in fluorescent lights, interesting, fluorescent makes the color of red, or something that looks red, to be much more redder than it really is. So therefore, it's very advisable not to check at all during the nighttime, even in fluorescent light, which is usually what most people have at home. And by the way, till it's daylight and look outside in the regular daylight, and you get much more of a clearer picture of what the shaila is. Unless, of course, it's the seventh night bedika, so then you don't have much of a choice. And then you need someone that has an expertise to be able to distinguish between what's really a problem and not. At least, as the kitzur stresses, which we mentioned already, the main bedikas are, besides the hefsek tahara, the first day and the last day of bedika. And as I mentioned, there's an ochashur that's even more lenient. So, could I always to ask a shayla? If a woman does find a stain during the seven clean days or actual bleeding, she always could restart. She doesn't have to count five bleeding days again. Rather, she just starts again with doing a hefsek tahara that day, meaning a bedika before shkia, and then she starts a count of seven clean days again. A kala, a woman that's getting married, so she has also a little bit more of a leniency in regard to when she could start the seven clean days. And essentially, since she's not married from before, so as long as she's able to establish hefsek tahara, and at that point, she could restart the seven clean days. So this way, and this is much better than getting into trouble and pushing off the wedding, meaning having a wedding when a woman is in it. Because as we explained already, it's Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ran, beginning Ksuvos, whether the Kiddushin, the chuppah, the nisuin, is valid or not. As we mentioned, the custom is there are many times that it is, so don't get so nervous about that. Women do get very nervous about having a wedding, just like geschmack, as they say. But besides the geschmack part, there's also halachic. So therefore, once you do whatever they can to try to be able to be clean and speak to Rav to be able to establish that she's not a nida. Siman Kuf Samach begins the laws of chafifa. So chafifa is really the preparation, the steps before the mikveh. That means after the seven clean days, where the seven clean days are finished, now the woman's ready to go to the mikveh and to reach a state of purification. So in order to do that, after the seventh day bedika, so the best, the optimum, is to do the last bedika on the seventh day, and before shkia, to do what's called, to begin the process of chafifa. Chafifa entails, which actually literally means to scrub and clean, is the making sure that there's no what's called chatzitza. So there's a chafifa, which is the process itself, and chatzitza is removing anything that would be what's literally an interposition, something that's going to be an interference between the body and the water. And the potential of the water reaching every area, even inside the mouth, areas where technically speaking, the woman doesn't have to even open up her mouth. But it has to be the potential. So if there's stitches, there's crowns and all the different shailas, all the interesting shailas, which we'll get to in Mitzvah Hashem. But for now, we're just discussing the idea of chafifa. And that involves, interestingly, even the kids of Shulchan Aruch, so it doesn't give a specific time because it really depends on the lady. Every person is different, and a person has to just take enough time where she's going to be relaxed. And that's the reason why there's actually a dispute. When's the best time to do it? Is the best time to do it during the day? Because anyway, she can't come into the mixture, she's more relaxed, she's not pressured for time. Or better to do it at night. Why? Because if you do it during the day, then the chafifa and the mikveh and immersing and immersion in the actual water, this interruption in between, and she could, in the meantime, get something on her fingers, be busy with stuff and get some dirt. Versus doing it at night, where usually the chafifa will be together with the immersion in the mikveh, but there's less of that relaxed time because she's pressured to go to the mikveh. So that's why, because of this, is a minig actually, the best, the optimum, is to start the preparation right before Shkia, go into Shkia, and basically be ready by Tezer Kechavim. Obviously, that's not, or it would be ideal, but it's not always practical, especially if everyone would be doing it. It won't be, the mikveh in the towns won't be able to handle it. So that's why there's appointments, and the ikur is for a person to be, a woman to be relaxed. That's the key. And it shouldn't be in an audience. And there's many times, mikur din, sometimes a woman just can't have had many times women are away, can't find a bath. So the halacha is mikur din, a shower. Because the idea is to make sure practically that there's no chatzitza. Now, hair becomes a problem because the water has to have the potential to reach every spot on the hair. When there's hair that's tangled, entangled, that's where there's a problem. Interesting, a woman just asked me about, I forgot what it's called, certain types of braids. And so there's many different discussions about hairs twisted together. Generally speaking, you have to comb your hair and to make sure the hair is combed. And the rest of the hairs on the body, you could do what's called, which is you could use a process of plisfus, which really means using the fingers in order to make sure that there's no knots. There are many times, as the kids points out, that the idea would be to go to the special mikvahs in the town. And Baruch Hashem, today there's many beautiful mikvahs, and have the preparation done there, because then there's no interruption between preparation and the immersion itself in the mikveh itself. But not always is it practical, and therefore women's allowed to prepare at home and then go and immerse in the mikveh itself. But best when she gets it to check herself. That's what the kids says, to take a comb with her again. But the main thing is to check herself and make sure that there's no knot, there's nothing to check her body. In the ikar, it's important to know the woman that's overseeing a woman that comes to the mikveh. It's called the balanit. The balanit really is an extra, we'll call it an extra protection. Because me'ikar din, a woman is trusted to check herself. She could check her whole body herself. And that's a woman that feels uncomfortable. The balanit technically are allowed to say, I'm okay, I'm checked, and all I need is someone to see, make sure that I'm in the water. That means when I'm in the mikveh water, and this is also sensitivities that balaniot, meaning women that are running the mikveh, should have. Because the last thing they want is to make it a non-enjoyable experience for one coming to the mikveh. So that's why it's so important to have the sensitivity and make sure that it's a positive experience. When it comes to Shas HaDchak, so as I pointed, technically speaking, a woman could even do the chafif even in the morning. If she knows she won't be able to do it later at night, etc. Not only that, there's a famous truth from Moshe. I don't think the kids are going to bring such a truth from Moshe. Moshe's tshuva, fascinating tshuva, is that sometimes a woman can't go to the mikveh at night at all. She's anos, she's going away, it's Friday night, she's this. So there's a tshuva from Moshe, very good to see. In Mokum Moines, there's a lot of permission to go to during the day, but there can't be yichud between the husband and wife. And definitely a woman should ask a shayla in such a situation. When it comes to Friday night, here's the tricky part. You can't obviously comb your hair Friday night, especially if it's a type of entangled hair that's you're going to pull out here. And a lot of the different things, preparation, cutting nails, for example, which is part of the chafifa process, so one can't do in Shabbos. So what do you do? So it's famous, actually, Shaila in the Ritva, and the Rishonim, and the Taz, and the Mishnah Berurah, if a woman forgot to cut her nails, she could ask a non-Jew to do so. That's also a major dispute. The Shach, the Taz, very geshmak. Bottom line is, everything should be prepared before. What about the lighting of the candles? That's the tricky part. So today, halacha is the kids are a little bit more machmir, that if a husband sees that things have been delayed, that the woman won't be able to care light candles, etc. So the husband lights a candle because after all, a man has an obligation to light candles just like a woman, just the woman, the chatchila, does it. But there's another process that that the woman could use, and that is what's called the tnai, making a condition, meaning usually a woman, she lights candles, accepts Shabbos. But she could stipulate, and certainly in this situation where she's not accepting Shabbos until After, let's say, the husband and her drive to the mikveh, where she goes to the mikveh, and obviously, still, no matter what, she should always make sure to be mekabel Shabbos for Shkia. Why is that? Because this way, you get Tosefes Shabbos. So that's another way to do it. Or there's an eitzah to go later on at night, after the meal itself. Halachically, that's also permissible. But either way, all the preparations have to be done before Shkia. Have a beautiful day.